Have joining the podcast, former Mortification drummer Adam Zeferis. Adam, thanks for joining the podcast.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
You've been around for quite a while, but you're still pretty young. So it's kind of crazy that you were able to start so young. And I know that's something I want to talk about, your time in Mortification, playing drums.
Sure.
But, you know, going back, was people may not realize that your father was in Rosanna's Raiders. Is that correct?
Yeah.
He was the drummer.
Yeah, for Rosanna's Raiders. So I guess that's where it all, well, that is where it all basically started.
And he was the drummer. I mean, was he a big influence on you becoming a drummer?
Yeah,
or was
sure. Yeah, well, if he didn't play, I wouldn't be playing. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he used to take me to all of his gigs and stuff like that. I actually remember the very first time I seen Mortification. It was when they played a big festival up in Sydney in Australia called the Black Stump Festival. And Rosanna's Raiders, they were headlining main stage. It was something like 12,000 people. It was ridiculous. It was huge. And he said, oh, you want to come, you know, come to one of the side stages, which was this big circus tent. And he goes, I've got a friend, you know, he's playing with his band. And Dad obviously knew I liked heavy music at this time. I was still only about maybe 6 or 7, but I just loved it.
Oh, wow. You were young.
And I remember we walked in halfway through Mort's set, and I started crying because his voice scared me.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I said to Dad, can we go? Like, I'm freaking out. And he goes, you'll be fine. And, yeah, and that was my first experience of Mort. It actually wasn't a good one, but obviously being so young, not, you know, being exposed to the, you know, the growling, you know, or screaming vocals like that, I'm like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard Mortification too, and it was right when they first kind of came out, and that was a totally different sound. It took me a while to get into it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know about your father's band that he was in with Rosanna's Raiders, but if you could kind of sum it up and kind of explain what that band was about, how would you put it?
Well, basically, they were obviously, you know, they were a great Christian rock band. You know, they were around for quite some time too. I was actually talking to Dad yesterday, because he's going through a little bit of a rough time at the moment. So I thought ring him up and cheer him up, because obviously one of their questions that you want to ask me was about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, Dad, you know, I'm on this podcast tomorrow, you know, from this bloke from the US. And one of the questions is about you and Rosanna's Raiders. And he just went quiet and he goes, oh, you're joking. He goes, people are still talking about it. And I said, yeah, mate. I said, they're going to be talking about it for years to come too.
Yeah.
And so he was absolutely rapt. But basically saying that Rosanna's Raiders, you know, at one point was, you know, one of the top five biggest Christian rock bands in the world. And they were fantastic at what they did. They wrote some great songs. They played some monstrous shows, and we used to go to them all the time too. You know, we used to be side stage. You know, me and my two brothers, we used to be air drumming, you know, side of stage, and, you know, always used to have competitions, you know, to see who would last the longest throughout the show. And I was the first one to go out every time.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
Yeah. I was shy. I just, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, this is great. Like, it felt great. But my other two brothers, you know, they weren't too shy at the time, and still not now.
Yeah.
But they just kept going, you know. But I can't really remember, you know, when they started, because obviously, like, I was super, super young.
And they were out of Australia, obviously, too.
Yeah. So Melbourne, Australia, just the same as Mort as well, just different parts of Melbourne. Basically the first band that I knew that Dad was in, you know, like, he was in bands before Rosanna's Raiders, but that was the first band that I remember him being in. And yeah, it was a great band to look up to and sort of, you know, set your standards to that. And just the reputation he had as a drummer and still has now. Like he doesn't play anymore. Unfortunately, he had a big accident at work. Big accident at work around about probably 20, 25 years ago, and it's
Oh, wow.
left him not so great.
Hate to
But
hear that.
it's he's not what he used to be, unfortunately. But
Did your brothers play too, or was it just you that picked it up?
funnily enough, my brothers actually were into drums before I was. So I've got two younger brothers. They're both twins. One of them's got cerebral palsy, and he is the one that actually started. And he didn't properly play or anything like that, but he showed the mo like the most interest out of any of us. And so I was sort of out of the three of us, I was the one that was sort of hidden, and didn't show much interest, but I still loved it because my brothers were having fun with it. And just yeah, just it it basically just stemmed for that. And like we used to have little, like I said, little competitions and who can last the longest and all that sort of stuff at dad's gigs. And even to the point where we'd be sitting up the back with mum and we'd all be on chairs and like whoever got the closest towards the side of the stage by the end of the gig wins sort of thing. And I was again I'd never leave mum's side. I'm like, no, I ain't doing that, not a chance.
Right. How old were you when you started playing drums then?
Well, I actually started playing drums at, I got my first drum kit. Dad bought me my first drum kit at the age of five.
Okay.
Still remember what it was. It was this bashed up Pro Max drum kit. It was like a sky blue. And I come home from school one day and he had it set up. And this is when he knew I actually had an interest. And a little bit more than my other two brothers at the time. And I come home and I had this drum kit set up in my room. And I looked at him and I said, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he goes, it's yours. And I said, you're joking. And he had one of his good mates. I'll never forget. I don't know why I still remember this. I can't remember what happened yesterday, but
Yeah, I'm saying.
he had one of his good friends over and he was an incredible bass player. And he was set up in the room too. And he goes, let's jam. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And it basically just started from there. And he ended up reskinning the kit with Remo skin so it actually sounded half decent.
Yeah, at least get some good heads on there.
That's exactly right. But yeah, from yeah, basically I think I've always had it in me because I grew up with it. Obviously from when I was born. And so it was for me, it was just, I guess it was just natural. It was like
Yeah.
kids riding bikes these days. Everyone does it. And I thought, well, every kid plays drums, surely,
Did you ever take lessons, or did you just self-taught, or?
Well, mainly self-taught. I did have a couple of lessons, had a couple of lessons with one of my sister's friends. And he was trying to teach me how to, read music. I still can't read music.
Yeah, I can't either.
But it's so difficult. I don't know how people can play and read at the same time.
Oh,
That's a
I
talent.
know.
But
It's all about
I'd
the
rather.
feel to me. I like reading music, I feel like would take away the feel in a way. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, I've got mates who do it, and they're like, "Oh, as you'll benefit from it." I'm like, "Yeah, but
I'm sure.
you
Yeah.
lose the flow. You lose that flow. You don't. You're not in the pocket as much. You're more, I believe anyway. Like if you, I would be more like a robot player. I'd be
Yeah,
stiff.
I know
I'd
what you
just
mean.
uncomfortable. You got some blokes that would sit there. You wouldn't know if they're reading or not. And I just sit there and go, look at them and think you're incredible. But for me personally, nah, not a,
So it was more
not a,
self-taught kind of, or just, I know, I think I saw recently you said Dave Grohl was like your big influence drummer wise. What anybody
Sure.
else, or was the where were you, was that like Nirvana stuff you were picking
Well,
up, or what were you into?
when I was growing up, my sister used to play bass, so she was heavily, influenced, with, bands like Van Halen, Virgil Donati. So I started, well, obviously I grew up with, in the rock scene with dad, just like Australian bands like Baby Animals, for example. I don't know if you've heard of them. If you haven't, look them up. They're incredible.
You said baby animals?
Yeah, they're called
Okay.
Baby Animals.
No, I'll check them out.
Australian band. They actually went to the US quite a while ago, and they actually toured with Van Halen.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so they did quite well. They're still going today, but not as big as what they should be, I believe. But
Yeah, I'll check them
yeah,
out.
just like bands like Van Halen, yeah, drummers like Virgil Donati, like your Led Zeppelins and stuff like that. AC/DC was a big influence because Dad played a lot like Phil Rudd, if not better.
Yeah.
And just had that solid, he was just a solid drummer. But yeah, no, Dave Grohl, he can do everything. And he does it so well.
Have you ever got to see him live?
Yes, I've seen him live 4 times. I actually the last time I seen him, we took all the kids, and it was actually Taylor's last gig in Australia, because
Yeah.
where they played was just down the road from where we lived. And yeah, we ended up getting tickets at the last minute and stuff like that. And yeah, obviously Dave got up and drummed while Taylor sung, and
Yeah.
it was already a special, special gig, considering it had been just after COVID, and everything was just starting to come back to normal. And then obviously basically 2 weeks after that gig, Taylor passed away.
That's great. Yeah, that hit hard because
It still
I
hits.
was really into Foo Fighters back in the
Oh, for
day.
sure.
I kind of got out of them a little bit just because honestly, I got burnt out with kind of like the same thing with Nirvana. I got burnt out listening to them on the radio because I mean, here where I'm
Yeah.
at, they played them all the time. But anyways, I saw Foo Fighters back around 2000, and a moment I'll never forget is Taylor and Dave doing a drum solo together, and it was so
Yeah, I've seen
cool.
it
It
online.
and it's on YouTube. Yeah, the show I went to was actually a pay-per-view special, before you could, YouTube and stuff. But if you go on YouTube, you can watch, it was in Atlanta, a pay-per-view special from like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, I
And
reckon I've seen it.
yeah, you probably have seen it because the lady at the beginning introduces, her name is Leslie Frann from 99X. And
Yeah.
man, I was front row at that show. And it was
Oh,
such
really?
a cool moment to see those, because I was huge into those guys. And Dave is such an aggressive drummer, and
He's brutal.
I'm like
He
that.
just,
That's how I play too. And it's, yeah.
yeah, he assaults his kit like it owes him money. He just smashes it. And that's exactly how Dad played too.
Yeah.
Like Dad used to play, he used to play 2Bs, but he would play them butt end and still break them like they're nothing. Like it was just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And yeah.
Are there other like drummers that you really were into? I mean, especially for your style, playing with Mortification and being so young, and how honestly good you were or are, but especially at that time too, for being so young. I mean, you're obviously very talented, and as a
Thank
drummer,
you.
and I'm curious, if there were any other drummers that were influencing you in that kind of genre.
Basically, one drummer that stands out massively for me is Jason Sherlock.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Jason was and still is ridiculous. His feel that he put, like, you I mean you've got so many metal drummers that you can sit there and talk about for ages, but Jason, for me, he was, funnily enough, he was a pocket player in a metal band. Like, he had groove as well as everything else a metal drummer needed. And I just remember I remember like that Live Planetarium DVD and recording. I listened to that, I don't know how many times I've listened to that. And if you actually like, there's if you listen to like the original versions of like Scrolls of the Megalith and stuff like that, and Brutal Warfare, you listen to the actual recordings of it, and then you listen to Jason's live versions, and then you listen to how I played it. I put a lot of Jason's stuff in there because I just he was a huge influence when I joined Mort, massive. dad and, you know, people like Dave Grohl and that could only be so much of an influence because, you know, they didn't play that style of music, you know.
Right.
But with Jason, it was just, I used to watch him and listen to him and just think, that's what I want to be like in this band, you know. And just, yeah, he it was, yeah, Jason, that was basically, you know, just not so much taught me, but just, well, he did teach me in a way without him even knowing. And I've said this to him recently. I'm like, man, you're like such a big influence when I was in Mort. And he's like, really? I said, yeah, dude, like, you're incredible. But yeah, he sort of taught me without him knowing that he was teaching me, you know. And it wasn't massive things. It was just little licks that he did, and just how he did them that just, for some reason, just like sucked me right into what he was doing. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to be like.
What
And
was there anything challenging when you were learning drums? Like, for instance, a double bass drumming, or I mean, because everything you're a great drummer, like I said. So was anything ever challenging to kind of nail down?
well, it's really hard. It's a really weird thing because like I said, I grew up with drumming, so it all just felt really natural to me. And I guess when I first joined Mort, because, you know, I was, you know, I'm like heavily influenced. Oh, here's another drummer, David Silveria, the Korn drummer,
The first
Korn drummer.
original,
Yeah, I was a massive influence by him. I even when I started with Mort, I used to set my kit up like him. Like, I had the china onto my left, and, you know, had me rack up and that, or everything was set up like him. But yeah, I guess the most challenge that I felt with Mort, it wasn't the fact that, you know, I had to learn all the double kicks and stuff like that, because that all come naturally to me, which I was very, very lucky, to already have that sort of built in. But it wasn't until I hit the studio with the silver quarter severed, and that was the first time I even experienced the studio. I had no idea what a click track was. I just didn't know how it all, you know, how it all happened, basically.
What was
And
that?
I
Was
had
that a
Dave.
challenge, the click track, for you at all when you first did it?
Massively.
Yeah,
I
it was for me
reckon.
first time.
Yeah, a fella, he's passed away now, but guy, his name is Mark McCormick. And he actually did, I reckon he did like 99% of Mort's albums.
Okay,
I
like
could be,
producing them? Okay.
yeah, just like the recording side of things. But yeah, he was he was harsh, but he was very, very fair. He just wanted the best. He knew I was young. Like, I think when I first joined Mort, I was 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was supposed to still be in high school. You know, I wasn't in high school at the time.
Were you not at school at all when you joined Mortification, or?
No, not at all. I got mixed up with the wrong crowd.
Okay. Well,
And it was bad.
I mentioned to you before we were recording about Steve Rowe's book, and I know you said you didn't read it, and you just jogged my memory because that is kind of mentioned. It didn't no detail about it, but that Mortification was, you correct me if I'm wrong, or tell the story from where I kind of mentioned here, but it basically says that your dad and Steve got together, kind of that you were not in a good place, and he thought maybe getting in Mortification would be a good opportunity to also help maybe straighten you up a little bit. So I don't know
Yeah,
if
for
that,
sure.
you know,
No,
that
that's
kind of
exactly right.
back. Okay.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And yeah, it was basically like they didn't force me into doing anything at all, which was really great. Dad and Steve have known each other, oh, I reckon probably very early 80s, back in like Lightforce days and stuff like that. Yeah, so they were great mates from the word go, sort of thing. And yeah, basically how it all come about was, obviously, yeah, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd at school, and, you know, doing stuff that I normally, you know, well, that I shouldn't be doing, basically. And yeah, and basically, Dad said, you know, look, you remember Steve? And I said, oh yeah, vaguely, you know, at the time, because it had been quite some time that I'd seen him.
Since he made you
And
cry.
Yeah, he goes, look, they're looking for a brother. And I thought, oh, okay. And I, at this time, you know, like I'd never been in a band. You know, I just played in my bedroom. I listened to my favorite CDs and I just basically played along to them. You know? And he goes, look, they're looking for a drummer. Would you be interested in giving it a crack? And I said to Dad, I said, oh, look, you know, yeah, righto. Like, yeah, might as well. And so yeah, obviously he got back to Stephen, you know, said, look, you know, he's willing to give it a crack. So they sent me all these things, and Dad sat me down basically, and he said, look, he goes, you're not auditioning for that. And I'm like, no idea what you're talking about. You know, I wasn't in there, I wasn't in the scene or anything, so I had no idea, you know. And he goes, look, you're auditioning for a world-class band, and you know, if it all goes well, you're going to do some pretty big things very, very early, you know, in your life, like that, you know, no kid basically gets a chance to do, even adult. And yeah, that talk sort of sat, you know, made me sit back and think to myself, well, you know, I love playing. If I want to make something of it, I've got to stop doing what I'm doing, you know? And yeah, so basically I got sent, you know, all these songs, and I can't really even remember what songs that Steve sent us, but yeah, I learned a whole heap of them. And basically, yeah, I auditioned, Dad dropped me off, and setting the kid up, making sure it's all right while Dad and Steve are talking out in the kitchen at the time, because Steve had an actual house that he, you know, made into a studio. And it was phenomenal, and that's where a lot of Mort's albums were recorded. But yeah, basically I auditioned, and in the midst of me setting up my kit, you know, Dad and Steve were talking, and you know, Steve basically said to Dad, you know, like he, you know, obviously being 18, like he'll be right getting in the pub, and Dad goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, he's not 18. Steve goes, what do you mean he's not 18? He goes, he's 15. He goes, oh. And then, you know, Dad said to him, like, look, we can't, like, he's been working at this for months, like, you know, learning the songs and stuff like that. And Steve goes, look, we'll give him a run. He goes, but, you know, basically just tell him that's, you know, he's, you know, basically not, you know, the man for the job sort of thing. And Dad goes, yeah, he goes, look, still give him a run. And, you know, just see what happens sort of. So anyway, Dad goes, look, I'll go around the block. You know, you guys run through a couple of songs with him. I'll come, I'll pick him up, and, you know, I'll deal with him on the way home. And as in, you know, like sort of calm me down, because I thought to myself, you know, if I don't get this gig, like, geez, I'm going to be shattered, because I really wanted it. And anyway, Dad goes around the block. This is what Dad's told me anyway. And yeah, basically Steve, you know, Dad knocked on the door, Steve answered it, and Dad goes, oh, you know, is he ready to go? And Steve goes, well, we've actually got a problem. Dad goes, what's that? And Steve goes, he's a lot better than we all thought. And Dad goes, what do we do? He goes, we're going to run through some more stuff, and we'll let you know what's going on sort of thing. So anyway, at the end of the day, Dad can't. Steve were talking, and Dad goes, so what's going on? And Steve goes, we want him. Like, we want him. In
like
the band.
The day of your audition after he says that to your dad. Wow.
Yeah, basically. Like before I'd even finished packing up my stuff. And
Had they told you that yet, or did he tell your dad first?
I had no idea. I had no idea at the time. I just thought, oh, I'm just jamming. And then, you know, because he apparently... I got told he had someone coming in from interstate as well. From, I think it was somewhere like Sydney or something like that, I got told. And they had a couple more drummers to audition. I was like one of like maybe four or five that were actually trying out.
Okay.
And, apparently, yeah, that day or not long after my audition, Steve cancelled all of them and said to Dad, yeah, we want him. Like, he's shocked all of us. And, Dad just said, hey, you're going to go with getting him in the pubs and stuff like that. Steve goes, I'll figure it out. And they obviously sorted it out, you know, sorted it all out. And that was it. That was it, basically. And
what year was that? You were 15, so what was that, around 2000 or so, or 2001?
Oh, let's see. I think it was around, I reckon it was around 2000 because,
Okay.
yeah, I reckon it was around 2000
That, and
is what
that's
I'm.
such a crazy, unique story because I didn't realize that you never had been in a band before and to jump
Never,
right
yeah,
into that.
never. Yeah, that's it. Well, I had jammed, like I said earlier, like my sister used to play bass. So where we lived at the time, across the road, our neighbors had a studio. So we used to go in there like some nights on the weekends. And just we used to jam Van Halen and all that sort of stuff. And I was like really, really young. I was probably like 8, 10 years old, sort of thing. And that was basically the only experience I had with other people. And but yeah, as far as actual bands go, like I played in church a couple of times when we used to go. That was it.
So when you get a mortification, what's
Sport
kind of the
was my
first,
very first.
what do you immediately go into the studio or you guys go on tour? Because is the album you go into is the Silver Cord? Is that your first album you recorded with them?
Yeah, so that was my first album that I did with them. So basically, for memory, because geez, it was so long ago now. I feel so old, you know, thinking about all this stuff. But yeah, basically, it was, you know, for memory, it was rehearsing, you know, basically getting the live show down, and we, you know, we did a bunch of shows, and so we played around Melbourne, and then we obviously like we went out and, you know, played around Australia as well, which was phenomenal. Like I'd never been, like the only state that I'd basically been to was Sydney when, you know, we used to go and see Rosanna's Raiders play. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're going to the same states. I don't have my, you know, my mum and dad and my brothers or sister there. You know, I'm going there because I'm playing. And that was a massive spin out. I'm like, I don't know what to do right now, but just to enjoy the ride sort of thing. And then basically it was, I reckon, about a year and a half, roughly, or so after I joined. Steve said, "We're going on a world tour," and I said, "We're going on a, like we're going out of the country." I'd obviously never been out of the country, and he goes, "Yeah," and I thought it was like for a week, you know, like a weekend sort of thing, you know, like we normally did when we go to Sydney. And now I packed my bags and I went for about 2.5 months. And we went everywhere, like everywhere. So I was 17 when we did that tour.
And that I think that's documented on the video that Mortification did, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember what it's called. You probably do, but
Yeah,
there's
leave it
quite a
out.
It's where you guys do play over Australia. Then you come over, and I know you did some shows with was it Biogenesis at the time?
Yeah, we did some shows with those boys.
Yeah,
Well, we did the American stretch with them, yeah, that was a great experience. Those boys are
yeah.
great. I actually, when you messaged me about this podcast, I was listening to the one you did with Chaz, and I got to the part where he forgot my name, so I sent him a message and I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I just had a mental blank." He goes, "I completely forgot." I said, "No, you're right. I'll let you go." But yeah, so that was that world tour was just, it was something, man. Like it was just phenomenal. But I think I sort of regret doing it so young, only because I didn't take it in the way that I would take it in now.
Right. I totally understand.
Took for granted, and I was like, obviously, I was young. I didn't know, like, you know, I can sit there and say I'm disappointed in myself and blah, blah, blah. But I just wish I took more of it in and just appreciated it more. Like, I loved it. But, you know, I didn't, if it was now, you know, like sitting there going, "I'm in Switzerland right now." Like, let's make the most of it. But instead, I'm like, "Oh, all right, we're in Switzerland. And tomorrow we're going to be, you know, we're going to be in Mexico." Whatever. That's sort of how it was. But yeah, like I look back at it, I've watched the DVD, you know, multiple times now, and just sit there and just think, wow, like how lucky I was to experience that. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, that I mean, even to have that experience though, even at the age you did, it's still really cool. And like you said, some people never even get that experience. I mean, I never kind of did. I auditioned for the band Skillet when I was young, and
Oh yeah, I've definitely heard that name.
it didn't work out. But it's funny because talk about the click track. That was the first time I ever played with a click track. I was like 19,
Yeah.
and I was so nervous. I couldn't hear the click track because I'm a loud drummer, and I was so nervous. I didn't
Yeah.
want to tell him like I can't hear the click track, and I was getting off a little bit. Never played with a click track before, so I definitely feel your pain. But it was my first time was when I was auditioning for just happened to be the band Skillet, who would later, I mean, they weren't really like super popular like they are now, but it's just funny, you know, that you kind of feel like you're gonna have these opportunities or these things are gonna happen that maybe don't happen the way you plan them, but it's still cool that you did have this opportunity, whether it be at the age that you had it at.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For
It's an
sure.
awesome
Like,
thing.
even going to Sydney, you know, like Sydney and like you do your Adelaide runs and stuff like that. You know, it's just what a time, you know, this incredible time. Just, yeah, I look back at it now and just go, I'm so grateful. Like, Steve, I don't think Steve has, like, he realizes how much he's done for me. Yeah, if it wasn't for him, I definitely would not be the drummer that I am today. Even though, like, drumming wise, he hasn't obviously he hasn't done anything because he can't play drums to save himself. But you know, like the experience, like him and Lincoln both, you know, taking me under their wing, you know, as to say,
Yeah,
just
that's
yeah,
cool.
phenomenal.
When you were with them that first run, did you record, was it two albums you recorded? Was it was Relentless during that time also?
No, nah, I see. I think Relentless was after all that.
Okay.
I think what we had was the Silver Quarter Seven, and I'm pretty sure that was it.
Yeah. And
And we
you,
toured on that.
let me go back to that real quick with that album, recording with that. I know you kind of mentioned a little bit about the experience, but tell me a little more about that experience going in there. How do you, were you prepared at all, or was that a big learning experience, I'm sure, for you going in there recording?
Yeah, look, it was a massive, massive learning experience. I wasn't, I mean, I was prepared as in, like, I knew what I was playing. Knowing what to expect, I had no idea. So I've rocked up and, like, they've given me the headphones and they started the click track, and I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, basically strap yourself in, like, this is, you know, this is what happens. And you know, just even like Mark McCormick, you know, he was, like I said, he was phenomenal, but he has to be like your last. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he goes, we don't, you know, he goes, go as hard as you can. He goes, with this type of music, he goes, you can't back off. And I said, right on. I said, cool. So yeah, we smashed it. Absolutely smashed it. Like there were times where, you know, I was not on, obviously, because of the lack of experience. And like you said, playing the click track for the first time, it was mind-boggling, you know. I didn't realize.
It's really, I think the for me as a drummer, the difficult part is because I like to do odd time rolls or fills, and I like to do fills. I'm not a fill rudd or just a drummer like that. And then when you start doing those things, you got to make sure you come back in on that click and on that time. And I think
For
that's
sure.
definitely a challenge at times.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. And especially when you've never done it before. You know, you just, I look at it now, like I play with a click all the time now, even with my bands now. Oh, it's, you know, for the majority of the time anyway. But yeah, I look back at it now and think, wow, like the first time I play with a click really opens your eyes to see how out of time you actually are. You know, and it, as weird as it feels, you know, after a while, it's obviously normal. But yeah, like I'll look at my very first launch show. It's actually on YouTube, and I watched it not long ago, and my timing is horrible.
Which
The boy
show
in
was that? If people will look it up, what would
the
they?
so it was.
I gotta
I'm
check
not
this
even
out.
sure what it's titled as, but it was at a, it was called EVs in Croydon, and I reckon what I'll do, I'll try and find it, and I'll send you the link through
Yeah, do
Messenger.
that, man. Not to
But
try to like look at your mistakes, but I'm curious to just be like, wow, that's his first show playing with the band. I'd like to see that.
for sure. Yeah, for sure. Like it's you look at that show and then you look at what I do now, and
Yeah.
obviously there's
Because
obviously
what
a
you do
lot
now
more.
is very professional.
What I do now, it's yeah, so I'm basic, I do a lot of corporate stuff as well. So
A
yeah, the
lot of
stuff
corporate
I do
gigs, you
now,
mean?
yeah, so I'm
Okay,
in
okay.
two groups at the moment. So I'm in a cover band called, it's actually a funny name, it's called Good Faces for Radio. And
Oh.
yeah, so we do a lot of stuff for the AFL in Australia, like the Geelong Football Club anyway.
Okay.
We do a lot of weddings, we do a lot of debs, you know, deb balls and stuff like that here. And yeah, everything's to a click. Well, not everything, the majority of stuff's to a click, but you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you're playing well-known songs, you know, that everybody knows. So you stuff up, you know, obviously by the end of the night, people aren't gonna know because they've, you know, they've had way too much to drink and they've got no idea what's going on anyway. But yeah, you have to be on it. And you know, you're playing with the click and samples and stuff like that, and you can't miss anything, you know.
Nah. The drummer's like the first one you notice if they screw up on the timing and stuff with the tracks.
Well,
It
that's
you
right.
can't,
Well,
it's
as long
hard
as
to
I'm
not stand out.
exactly right. As long as I play me 4/4, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
You know, the poor fella who's, you know, the guys who sing and stuff like that, they're the ones that are under the pump. But they're incredible. They've been doing it for 20 odd years, and I've been with them for about 3 years now, and just yeah, it's phenomenal. You know, I never thought I would enjoy covers as much as I do, but
Yeah.
you know, it's
It is
that
fun.
somewhere it's
Let me
great.
ask you, what's your favorite cover song to play? Do you have one?
Favorite cover song. Well, we do Everlong by the Fooey's.
Yeah.
That's good, sort of like, because some corporate shows and stuff like that, I sort of have to sit back as far as volume goes, and
Oh
I
man.
can't.
I hate
It's
that.
really. I used to not like it at the start, but now, like, what covers have taught me, which is really weird because like I said, I've only been doing it for three or so years. And what covers have taught me is control. Like the control I have over my kit and the dynamics that I'm able to pull out now is amazing. It's amazing because I've had to and I was forced to. Whereas I wish I had practiced it earlier, just so I had more dynamic in my drumming. But yeah, it's taught me so much control and a lot of discipline that I'd never thought it would. But yeah, no, Everlong's fan. It's so that's always anything Foo Fighters for me. I'm a massive Foo Fighters fan
Yeah.
and always will be. Well, let's see. I'm probably gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I actually don't mind playing country music. We
Hey,
play
it's what people want to hear, you know. Why not?
It goes off. It go. We play songs like Chicken Fry, for example. I never even heard of the song until I joined these guys.
Oh
And
God.
so,
You could
yeah,
not hear it here when it came out.
I bet. I bet. I even probably now. You know, it's just, yeah, it's phenomenal. And they're like, oh, this song goes off. And like I said, I've never even heard it ever. And I said, really? Like, you know, Chicken Fry goes off, and they said, yeah. And we played it for the first
Oh
time,
yeah.
and it was as mental, probably more mental than any Mort show that I've ever done. And I'm just sitting back going, like, people are hanging off rafters and everything, crowd surfing, and I'm sitting there thinking, wow, it's
Yeah.
like another world. But yeah, like, yeah, songs like, you know, Africa, you know, from Toto,
Yeah, it's great.
you
One of the
know,
best songs.
I love it because I'm a prog drummer, so the odd timings and all that sort of stuff is, like, that's right up my alley. So coming, you know, coming from that background into the cover scene where you just sit there and think, oh, it's going to be 4-4, and then they throw a song like that at you, and it's like, you know, they were worried. They're like, look, we haven't had a drummer basically that can pull this off, like perfectly. And they said, will you be okay? I'm like, mate, I said, I'm fine. I said, this is like right up my alley. I even get to the point where I start doing syncopated rhythms over it and I stuff them up because I'm like, this is so fun. But yeah, a little bit of Africa, a little bit of Everlong, and not so much Chicken Fry because that song gets a little bit tedious. But you know, things like, you know, like Life's a Highway and stuff like that. Is it Luke Combs? Luke
Luke
Combs.
Combs, yeah.
He has got some incredible songs. His songs are like heavy without being heavy. You know what I mean? He's phenomenal. I'd love to go watch him live. Absolutely insane.
Well, let me go back to your first role mortification and ask you. I think you left, if I'm not mistaken, around 2003. I mean, was that your decision, or why did you leave the band during that time?
Yeah, well, I think it was around about the 2003 mark, sort of thing. Not 100% sure, but yeah, around there. Well, basically, I left. Like, there was no bad blood or anything like that. Like, everything was great. But I guess I wanted to do more with my playing, and have more of a dynamic. So, and I think my music taste was changing as well. Like I was always into the heavy stuff, you know, like your Slipknot, and I still love Slipknot now. But I was getting more into the groove of things. You know, like listening to like bands like Dave Matthews, you know, and like hearing Carter play drums, that was just another world opening. And I'm like, you know, like your Stevie Wonders and, you know, Michael Jackson and stuff like that. And I really took an interest in it. So it was just, I think for me at the end of the day, when I look back at it now, I just think it was just a change of interest, really.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And like, as you know, like, I mean, I went back and I did a couple, you know, a couple more albums and helped them out with a couple of things too. So, you know, like I always loved, you know, like the metal scene, the metal music. And but yeah, I wanted to change. That was it, really.
Did you actually
And
have another band after that? What was going on during that time?
Yeah, so I joined at the end of Mort, before I quit, I was in another band called Pillar Point One. We ended up having to call ourselves because there's a Christian pillar.
I'm familiar with that one.
We had to change our name because of them. And which we Mort actually we played at the Christmas Rock Night in Germany, and we they I think pretty sure Pillar headlined that night, which was really, really cool to see. And my Pillar is just they're phenomenal. The drummer from that band, I can't remember his name. I did meet him and he was a lovely, lovely guy. The chops that that guy's got is just next level. I never forget. I was sitting behind him on side stage, wherever I was at the time, and just thinking, this guy has just got everything that I want, you know, another drummer that has got stuff that I want, you know, and he's got so much feel, he's got so much soul when he plays. And, you know, again, like that was another interest that I wanted to fulfill, and obviously couldn't feel that with being in Mort because it was different style of music. But yeah, it was mind-blowing to see, really.
Are there any other shows that stick out that you, with mortification, that just, I don't know, sometimes you, I mean, I always ask about good experiences, but maybe there's a bad experience, you know, that sticks out in your mind. But either way, you know, maybe a story that sticks out from your time with them.
Let's well, one of the main shows that I'll never ever ever forget, was when we played in Norway. We played the Seaside Festival up there, and it's like a three-day festival or whatever it was. And Mort had previously played this show, and there was like, you know, 5,000, 6,000 people there. And for someone so young like myself, like that was huge. You know, like we don't in Australia, we never really played to, you know, to that amount of people. You know, wouldn't really get over a couple of hundred people unless we played a big festival up in Sydney or whatnot. But yeah, the Seaside Festival in Norway was just phenomenal. We played three times in that weekend. We did an acoustic set. It was the first time Morten had ever done an acoustic set. It's all on the DVD that they released about the world tour. Yeah, so we played an acoustic set one night, and the next day we played main stage, and that was my biggest show basically ever. And it was a huge stage. You know, the back line was just amazing. You know, the kit was incredible. Everything sounded just huge. And it was a real surreal moment because obviously, you know, you watch your DVDs and stuff like that of your favorite bands, and they're playing these massive outdoor festivals with people everywhere. And yeah, that was a gig where I was walking out to my kit, and people was like literally screaming to the point where their voices were getting distorted, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out, and people know who you are, you know. People know too much about you. You know, people that you've never ever met before. And, you know, it was surreal. Like, I'm a kid from Melbourne, Australia, you know, that left school because he got tangled up in the wrong, you know, with the wrong people. And now I'm on main stage in Norway, you know, the other side of the world, playing to like, you know, whatever it was, 4,000 or 5,000 people. And people are losing their stack because you've walked out. Like they can see you. You know, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. That will always stick out for me. Yeah, it was such a surreal experience. Like I've never really experienced anything like that. Like I've played hundreds of incredible shows, but that one in particular, yeah, just phenomenal. That whole weekend was just brilliant.
When
Yeah,
you,
thanks.
well, I was going to ask you, what other albums were you involved in with Mortification later on?
Well, let's see. I was in. I was on the Evil Addiction Destroying Machine. I played on that. Obviously, yeah. Well, Relentless, but I was still with them then. Let's see. I played on the 10 years, or no, the 20 year album that they released. So we went in and basically re-recorded all
Okay, I
like
didn't know that.
brutal stuff like that. I'm pretty sure I drummed on a row. Oh, what was Steve's other band there? Unro Vision. I filled in on a CD of that with them. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
Okay.
I'm just trying to jog my memory.
Was there an album that was your favorite that you were on? Any particular one?
Well, I really loved Relentless. Relentless was it was that was challenging. That was challenging. The guy we had playing guitar on that, his name was Jeff. He was a fella from Canada. So Steve got him to fly over. And the guy could play guitar. He was a monster. He was probably one of the best guitarists, you know. And like if you listen to that album and listen to the dynamics in that, you know, in those songs, it's phenomenal what he's done. And like sound wise and stuff like that, for me, like that album really, yeah, really sticks out a lot.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think I played on, yeah, like I said, like the Evil Addiction Destroy Machine, went in and filled in and just did that for them.
You weren't part of the band at that point. You just did the album.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I left on that, and yeah, I left and just filled in for him a couple of times after that. Didn't do shows. I just did a couple of recordings for him, and I'm pretty sure it was just the two. So it was the 20 year like anniversary one, and yeah, and the Evil Addiction Destroy Machine. If I've forgotten anything now, I don't think I have. But yeah, it was just basically those two that I did with them afterwards, and yeah, we played Steve's 50th, and yeah, which was a great time as well. So yeah, it was it's been bloody great. It's been great.
I was also kind of curious, you know, what your setup is now. What you like to? I mean, do you have a preferred brand that you play on anything, you know, kind of drum nerd stuff, but you know, what do you like to do?
Well, you'll love this. So I've with the cover stuff, I've got my very, very basic setup. I don't need much for it.
Right.
So with that, I've got about four or five kits that I can choose from now. I've got a lot of gear and still adding to it. My missus rolls her eyes whenever I want something new. And she's like, "Do you need it?" I'm like, "No. Need and want."
Right.
Need everything. But so with the cover stuff, I mainly play a PDP that I bought off a mate for about $1,000. Because we play, like I said, we play a lot of pubs and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, people, you know, get on the drink a little bit, and you don't know what's gonna happen. So I've got a very, very nice DW Design Series kit. It's matte black, chrome hardware. It's beautiful. And actually, my partner and the kids got it for me for a Father's Day present a few years ago now. And just, this kit's amazing. So I don't tend to take that out so much because I don't want it to get damaged. But so I take my PDP out, and I'm running an 8 and 10-inch rack toms and just a 16-inch floor. And obviously kicking snare. I've got about 8-9 snares to choose from now. So I've got
a
whole heap. Yeah, it's and that collection's getting bigger too.
Actually, I have a few snares, but one of them I picked up a couple years ago is the Taylor Hawkins Gretsch snare drum.
What that? That's one thing I'd love. Yeah.
Yeah, I found it at a pawn shop. I don't know if you guys have pawn shops over there, but. I picked it up. It just had an old crappy head on it. I'm like, this thing's in great shape, and it wasn't that much. And I was looking for a snare. I was like, man, I got to get this thing. It sounds great. Wow. Put a new snare head on there.
Yeah, for sure. New heads make a massive difference.
Yes.
Massive difference. You get a crap. I just recently brought an 80s vintage Pell snare. And I picked it up for $70 from a fella around the corner from where we live now, and had some crappy snares, skins on it. And I've just replaced the skins. It's just an old steel, you know, steel shell. And this thing cracks like nothing. Like, it's incredible. But yeah, my go-to snare is actually, it's a Chaos. It's called Chaos. It's a drum company in Australia.
Okay.
And my mate actually owns it, and he does drums, he does skins, sticks, cymbals, snare, stands, and everything. I basically use all of his stuff minus the actual drums. I do have one of his bop kits. I've got a smaller kit for the venues that obviously aren't equipped for bands. So when you walk in, they got concrete flooring and, you know, steel tin, you know, or tin roofs and glass windows and walls. Like, that's when I bring out the bop kit that I've got. And it sounds phenomenal. It's an 18-inch kick drum, which punches like there's no tomorrow. And just a 10-inch rack, 14-inch floor, something nice and small. And sounds great. But yeah, my normal go-to setup for the cover stuff is I've got a 19-inch crash. I've got two 19-inch crashes, and I use a Splash Ride and Huts. That's all I use for that, really.
It's the company you said is your friend, or is that symbols also from him?
Yeah. So the symbols are from him too. They're called Wretch symbols, and they're fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And they easily match up with your Zildjians and your Sabians and Minor and all that sort of stuff. They're just cheaper. That's all it is. Because when I first found out that he was doing it, and I had a look at some of his products, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, I'm also in another prog metal band as well, and you know, like I hit reasonably hard, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, will they match up, you know, to, you know, the Zildjians that I normally use? And yeah, they do. Like, I've given them an absolute flogging. And
what's the name again? And is there a website to check that out?
So he's got, if you look up Chaos Drum, so it's Chaos.
Chaos Drums.
Look that up into Google. Type that into Google. It'll come up. Wretch Symbols, so R-E-C-H. Wretch Symbols, okay. He does as well. His hardware, it's called Rudiment Hardware, and tough as nails. They're sort of like, sort of very similar to like DW hardware.
Okay.
Which is really, really good. And yeah, he's got he's just brought some skins out too. I can't remember the name of the skins as well.
Is that what you do for the pedals too? The drum or bass drum pedal? You use his brand or something else?
No, so I use Pearl Eliminators. I've used them for since, you know, basically Mort days really.
Yeah.
I use Pearl Eliminator pedals and hi hats because
never tried that
they
one.
Lock them. They're really good, man. They're really, really good. I highly recommend them. They're strong as anything. You obviously got to maintain them, keep them all oiled up and stuff like that. But I wanna check out his range of pedals and stuff like that too, because I'd like to eventually use everything that he supplies.
Right.
Because for one, he's a mate. He's a fantastic guy. Easy to, you know, communicate with. And his stuff, his equipment's amazing, absolutely amazing. And the range that he's got, like his drum kit range, you would throff over it. He's got acrylic kits, he's got birch kits, maple kits. It's, and the finishes that he has, you know, are just, they're just stunning, absolutely stunning.
I'll definitely check it out, man. I ain't got the money for it, but it's nice to dream a little bit and look at it.
Well, that,
maybe
that,
one day.
Exactly right. Well, that's it. Maybe one day. Like I said, his prices aren't that. They're not bad at all.
Right.
Like my go to snare that I use all the time, basically. I bring it with me everywhere. It's called the Big Tony, and it's a 14x8. I'm pretty sure it's a brass snare.
Okay.
And it's got die cast hoops top and bottom. This snare is so versatile. You can crank it up, make it sound like a piccolo, but with a deep, mm-hmm. bottom end, and you tune it down to make it sound like the fattest snare you've ever heard. I have it roughly in the middle, and I've rim shot a lot as well. And this thing is just perfect. Absolutely perfect. And yeah, the range of snares that he's got too, you probably won't want to go on his website because you'll end up spending money that you don't have.
I know. I might be I do want to check it out. That sounds really cool. Do you have a YouTube channel? I know you do videos on your Facebook stuff, but what where can people check out the stuff you do on YouTube?
I'm pretty sure if you just basically type in my name, Adam Zaffery, it should just it'll just come up.
Is that mainly the drum stuff you put on there? I know I've seen some of your stuff from there. I think.
Yeah, so I've just got it's Adzy Wadzy Drums. I don't even know why I named it that, but I've got it. So it's Adzy Drums. And yeah, so basically all I've got up there, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got about 6 videos up there at the moment, if not a little bit more. And it's just, I'm just in my garage and I've got a Yamaha EAD recorder. Because I'm not very tech savvy at all, so I've got
Yeah.
this. It's
How many
basically just
channels are you running?
one. So all it is basically a condenser mic that clicks onto my kick drum and picks everything up.
Wow.
And
I didn't
so
realize that. Just one mic? It sounds good too.
that's all it is, one mic. And I've got this app on my phone, so the microphone has an app that you record onto. But then I also use this other app so I can download the songs that I want to play onto this app, and I can take the drums out, and then I basically convert it over to this app where the mic is. And
Really?
basically, yeah, so I've got this cord that runs from my, I just film it on my phone.
What app
So
are you using? What's the name of them?
let's see, I just have to quickly get them up now. So they're it's called Record and Share. So REC, and it's got comma N comma Share, and
Okay.
that's the app that you use for the actual microphone. And basically that allows you to record, and the audio from the microphone goes straight into your phone.
Okay.
So because you've already got the track on there, the audio from your actual drums and the track just, yeah, they automatically sync up, obviously, if you're in time.
And there's an app
And
that takes out the drums from like popular songs. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's Mosey. It's MOISES. I use that.
Okay.
And just basically, I buy the songs on iTunes, and I'm able to access it through this app, take the drums out. You can take whatever you want out, guitars
Yeah.
or,
I've wondered
whatnot.
how people do that. I've never researched it. I'm sitting there going, how do you get the drum track out of the song
Yeah.
that, you know, or how do they do that? Because I've always wondered, because I'm like, if I wanted to do that, and I was curious, so that I have to check that out too.
It's really simple. Like I said, I'm not tech savvy at all, and I'd love to be able to learn to use, Pro Tools and actual
Right.
mics and all
Yeah.
this stuff.
Me too.
I had a mate of mine. He's an incredible drummer. He's phenomenal, and he was just putting up a couple little clips here and there. I actually got two mates that were actually doing it, and that's how I got into it. And yeah, I'm like, the sound sounds pretty good, like if everything was compressed and stuff like that. You're able to use your reverb and stuff like that, so it gives you that little bit more of a live sound. I just, send him a message. I said, "Hey, what are you using? Because I can't see any mics on your kit or anything." And they said, "Ad, use this." They said, "It's so simple to use. All you need are these two apps, and you'll basically figure out the rest." And it's been the easiest thing I've ever done, because a lot of people, they've always said, like, "Why don't you start your own YouTube channel? Why don't you put covers up there and all that sort of stuff?" I'm like, "Because I don't know how to do it,
Yeah.
and kids and stuff like that, I don't have time to sit there and research stuff. Like, they don't let you do stuff like that." So I just sit there and go, "Right, I want to figure out the easiest way." And this was it. So I basically went to my local music shop, and I bought this microphone. It cost me about just shy of about, it was about 550 or something like that, brand new. And obviously, it comes with instructions. So yeah, you just basically hook it onto your bass drum hoop, and yeah, hook your headphones up, get the track ready and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get your phone up on an angle where it can obviously,
I have to go back and look at your videos and kind of pay more attention to it, and knowing what I know now.
it's really cool. I just, sort of set the microphone off to the side, or the camera off to the side anyway, so it sort of gets everything in there.
Yeah.
And the bad is, obviously, because the sound's going straight into your phone from the microphone, wherever you want your phone, it won't disrupt the sound at all, so you can put it anywhere. And and basically at the end of your recording, you're able to adjust all your volumes and stuff like that. So you want the drums louder or the track louder, it's easy to be able to do that. But the thing is with all, I've just realized there's a click track as well.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't been using it. I've just been doing it by ear. And but what it is, or what you've got to do, is you have to nail the song in one take, because you can't chop and change it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of, a couple of videos that I've put up where, I sit back and look at them now and go, oh, that could have been a little bit different. But I just sit there and go, you know what, it's
That's natural too. I,
like,
yeah.
sit there and go, oh, I've had so many people sit there and say, oh, your drumming's perfect and all this sort of stuff. And like, mate, it's actually not,
Yeah.
like everyone,
I know what you
everyone's
mean.
stuff's like, yeah, exactly right. So, and just say, just tell them, go on the channel. You'll see some things where you sit there and go, oh, that wasn't 100% right. But you
Right.
know what it is, we're, like I said, we're all human. Like, you got some drummers that are completely faultless. You just sit there and go, you're not human. But
Yeah,
with
I think
Virgil,
that about Mike Mangini when I watch him.
oh, he was a freak, like
Yep.
legitimate freak, and
What he can do
he,
with both hands is crazy.
oh yeah, exactly right, exactly right. It's just so people like that, they're born to play drums. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
They weren't put on this earth to do anything else.
Well, Adam, I want to, I appreciate you coming on, and I want to respect your time. So, I mean, it's been awesome chatting with you, and I kind of want to leave it up to you to close it out. But if there's anything you want to kind of give a shout out to or plug or anything, and then if you have any kind of last word you want to tell people that maybe are fans or people just listening, I'll let you kind of have the last bit here.
Yeah, cool. It's weird to think that I actually have fans, because yeah, it's still a spin out. Like I show my kids, my kids are like, oh, Dad, you've been in bands and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, mate, I still am. And they're like, oh, can you show me? And they love it. They absolutely love it,
That's awesome.
and they want to see more. Like I've got a just over 2-year-old, and one of her favorite drummers, it's not her dad, but it's okay. It's Jay Weinberg from Slipknot. Put him on, and she loves it.
He's
Yeah,
amazing.
she goes around the house and stomps her feet, and I ain't changing it. She loves what she wants to love. But yeah, well, basically, yeah, the only thing that I would really plug is, go on, check the cover band out. I guess there's a website and stuff like that. We've got Facebook, and obviously no one from the US is going to hire us to, fly us over and
Right.
play for them.
Say the
We've got
name
lots
again of the cover band you said.
of Good Faces for Radio.
Yeah,
So,
that's easy to remember. Okay. Good
yeah, so
Faces for
if,
Radio.
yeah, if someone's got a buttload of money and they want a great band,
There
come
you
and
go.
shoot us a message. And if you don't expect any Mort style drumming, but you'll have a good time. But
Right.
I'm my other band, we're called Figures. And yeah, we're a prog metal band. It's, for, Mort fans and stuff like that. If you want the heavier side of what I do, that's definitely it. We've
It's
got an
fig
album.
figures like Figures.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're a five, hang on, where are we? We're a five-piece band from Melbourne. And yeah, we've got an album out on Spotify. The album that I'm on, it's called Underpaid Machinery.
Is that on iTunes
And
also or Apple?
I think it's on iTunes as well.
Okay. Check that out.
I'm just trying to actually. Oh no, sorry. So that the single's Underpaid Machinery. It got bought out 2020. But yeah, the actual album, it's called Operating in Unsafe Mode. And yeah, there's some super, super heavy tracks on there. They're odd time signatures. You'll love,
Right. I'll check that out.
love all that sort of stuff. When we play live, obviously I mix it up a little bit, I make it a little bit harder, do a couple of crazier drum rolls and stuff. But yeah, tell people, basically go on, check it out, look us up, give the Facebook page a bit of a like and stuff like that. They've got a YouTube channel as well, and we've got a couple of film clips up on there as well that I'm in. Yeah, go on there, hit us up, give us a like, and let us know what you think, basically. And yeah, the people, who think that I've gone off the you know, gone off the face of the earth and not doing much. I've always done something. Yeah, just the more days are more more full on than now, obviously, because the time, like, obviously having four kids now, it's it restricts you a little bit. I still play a lot. I'm still able to play heaps, actually. But yeah, no overseas trips or anything anytime soon. But if something pops up, we'll see what happens, basically.